This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
$46,000 is so hard. So hard, is that all that you got?
Have we tuned into the wrong podcast?
No, but if anyone knows the story behind that song, they know the topic for the day. Let's go. Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the sometimes on time, sometimes late, kinky video game podcast.
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Cy. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing all right. Busy. Getting very busy, and, you know, sometimes things just happen without you expecting it.
Yeah, like the gasworks that have occurred outside yours that have delayed us.
Yes, exactly.
And the sickness that I've had that's delayed us, and just generally life. Like, honest, we are trying to get these on time.
Yeah. I mean, partly that, and partly we're probably just do it sometimes. Yeah.
This is very true. But what are we talking about today, Chris?
We're talking about porn. Like everyone's favourite pastime, I think.
Ah, yes, that thing the internet was invented for.
Yes.
The internet is for porn. I seem to have a repertoire of songs related to porn somewhere.
I mean, everyone likes that song.
I mean, yeah, but the opening song was also a reference. Beautiful South 46D was reference to the... very outdated, let's be very clear, opinions around female-presenting persons that do porn.
Oh, fair enough. I misunderstood you, and I thought you meant the opening song to Avenue Q. I'm like, what do you do with a BA in English?
All I'm saying is the last English major that I got with, it was a good night. He did plenty with his tongue from all that Shakespeare recital. That's all I'm saying. I think that's the first time I made you spit out your drink.
But first of all, now I've spit out some tea. What's the tea?
What is the tea? Would you like me to go while you have chance to recover?
You could go first. Like, for a change, why not?
I'm doing Sports Ball Corner.
Oh.
Sports ball. So, have you seen that Nike have released the new English football kit?
Yeah.
Have you seen that everybody is losing their fucking minds over it?
Yeah.
So, for context for our listeners, everybody is losing their fucking minds because Nike, an American company, has decided only on the English kit to edit the St. George's Cross.
Yeah.
Which appears on the back of the neck. And it's interesting because I can't work out if this is the usual suspects losing their rag or if this is everyone.
I don't care.
Neither do I. And this is what's kind of like weird to me. It seems everybody fucking else does. This is not just confirmation. No, hold on a minute. This is not just confirmation bias off Twitter. Twitter, X, whatever the fuck you want to call it these days. That cunt thing that Musk owns. It's not just that. Like, I'm seeing this all over the place.
Yes, I know.
And I kind of get the argument they've not done this to any other country's flag. I kind of get the argument that, you know, this is really sort of obnoxious and you shouldn't do this because it's disrespectful. And I kind of understand it to a point.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of getting my goat up, though, is that we've got the Labour Party, the Conservative Party, for everyone else, that's usually the left and right wing governments of the UK. I'm not getting too far into those politics. As well as, I think, if I remember rightly, the Lib Dems and a couple of Green MPs have also come out against it. And I'm like, guys, we've got much bigger issues for people at that level to be worrying about than a fucking football shirt.
The thing is, for me, it didn't look like a flag in the first place. Let's just look at that pattern. Like, okay, it's a pattern that is based on the St. George's Cross. Mm-hmm. That has got no background. It's not a flag in the first place. If Nike hadn't said, we did a playful edit on the flag on their Twitter, no one would have given a shit.
I completely agree. Although so here's the weird thing. I completely agree with you, and I knew that you would get onto that with being like as into vexology as you are. But at the same time, like, the playful edit thing is really bad taste.
Yeah, that's, exactly. You don't say that. Yeah. You don't say you do something playful with a flag. That is completely Nike's fault for saying that in the first place. But if you just say, okay, we did a pattern based on the St. George's Cross, that's a much better way of putting it. That's actually what they did.
But what's amusing me is that, like, so Rishi Sunak has now come out, the UK Prime Minister at the moment, we'll see how long that lasts, has come out and said that they need to change it back. And Nike have turned around and gone, no. And he's just like, this is going to get interesting. Because Nike aren't going to want to do that, because they've already had this thing in production for how long?
Yeah, there's that. They have no need to change it back. Because it wasn't a flag in the first place. If you want it to, you know, be a flag, you need a background, and it's got to be rectangular. It's not. Yeah, the cross pattern just blended in with the rest of the collar. It's not a flag, so they don't need to change it back whatsoever.
The only thing I've seen, and I really hate that this came from a certain subset of Twitter, is that it was pointed out that some of, it's not a perfect copy, but some of the colours used are the bisexual flag colours.
Yeah, I did. I could see that. It's not.
Oh, I know it's not. I'm just like, it's just one of those things of, it's just like, it's just another thing that someone was ranting about with.
Yeah, there's a bit of, you know, the blue and like magenta, I guess. I would call that color. You can, those colors are on there. But come on, stop blaming the gays for everything.
Well, it's not the bisexuals, gays this time, but yeah.
In this case, but yeah.
Oh, but yeah, it's just like, it's just amusing to me. It's just like, of all the fucking things to lose your shit over right now, of all the things for politicians to be focused on right now,
yeah, but
it's not, fucking football
it's
shit.
Not,
really?
It's not just politicians, though. Like, there are some celebrities, I can't remember who referred to the flag as, the pattern as being rainbow-fied. I'm like, have you seen a rainbow? Does that look like a rainbow?
For fuck's sake,
this is not a fucking rainbow.
I hadn't seen that one. Fuck off.
Let me quickly... we won't say their name, but I want to quickly Google who it was.
No, fuck it. We'll say their name. Fuck that shit. If they're coming out claiming stupid shit like that, we're going to say their name.
So, yeah. So, former England footballer Joey Barton, like I was saying, you know, this... it was saying this flag was being rainbow-fied. And I was like, come on.
Hey, Joey. Joey. Get a fucking grip. Like, seriously, what the fuck? Like, Sunshine, like, you pulled on an England shirt once in 2007. You don't have a fucking clue. Shut the fuck up. We don't need your shit. Like, just fuck off with the dog whistles, okay? The only whistle that you should ever have been interested in is the one on the pitch, and you were only there for a year, so I really doubt that you were that good at it. So fuck off. Bye. Sorry, I've got no patience for this shit.
Yeah, quite right.
It's like, there are much bigger issues facing us right now, and you want to get fucking pretty over a fucking... look, Nike's being incredibly fucking arrogant. Let's acknowledge that. They are being fucking arrogant. But fuck off with the dog whistling, and just fuck off with it. There are bigger things to deal with that our politicians, etc., should be looking at, not the fucking back of an England shirt that you're not going to see in fucking 99% of the time it's fucking worn.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me, man. Anyway, I shouldn't do Sports Ball Corner because I get a little bit ranty. So please, what's the tea, Chris?
Well, I am just going to cover the story that scientists have managed to cut HIV out of cells. Have you seen that news?
Wait, no? What?
You know, it's a gene-cutting tool, according to reports. It is a technique which won the Nobel Prize in 2020. They have... In labs, obviously, they're not expecting like a full cure like method of HIV anytime soon. But yeah, they have presented this study that they have managed to cut out HIV virus from like active cells.
Awesome. Okay, that's really cool. And that's... So let's be realistic, because we've been around this sort of thing a few times with a few other technologies. They were looking at using the same immunization technique they used for COVID at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know where mRNA, that is right now. Yep. There was some talk of using that. I don't know if it's still ongoing. But, you know, this is fucking amazing. And when you look at where we are now with all the research that's going on around this, holy shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry,
I don't have really many words beyond holy shit.
No, it is great to see like these kind of breakthroughs. Let's give the scientists a bit of credit. So these are the
absolutely
researchers from Amsterdam UMC in the Netherlands. They are led by Dr. Eleanor Herrera Carrillo. I'm hoping I'm saying your name right.
Apologies if we're not.
Most probably weren't, but yeah, Dr. Eleanor. Yeah, that's what their research, what their work has been on.
That's fucking amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So, from one kind of screwing around, albeit with genes, to another kind of screwing around. That's the worst link I've ever done.
Okay.
What's the bag, Chris?
Oh, we're talking about porn, as we as mentioned, and how different it may be in, you know, when we actually do kink.
I mean, not just kink, but sex full stop.
Sure, yeah.
Like, the way that porn portrays sex is... It's so fucked. Sorry, there's no other word. It's so fucked. And I don't mean literally. I can see that look on your face where you've got a smart ass.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah,
it's
sex is fucked. Yes, that is one of the ways to do sex. Yes.
Fuck off. Just fuck off. Okay, fine. Fuck it. For that, you can be the one to start this off. So let's kick us off, Chris.
No, I was... it's like there is a lot of expectations that, you know, for us who can consume like pornography, have in our minds like how sex is supposed to be and that kind of thing. And obviously there's no one particularly correct way to do sex. Like,
I don't know. If you're trying to fuck my ear, you're doing something wrong.
What I said is there's no one correct way. I'm not saying there is no wrong ways.
No, you're right. I mean, it's so. It was me that brought this topic for us, and it's. I think it's important that we touch on how warped porn has made people's expectations of sex, a scene, the gay scene itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's also be realistic here and go, we are not innocent or blind to this either.
No.
Because we exist on the edges. We exist around this material. And we talk about some of our experiences, and we, you know, we talk about the good things, but we do try and show the realism of it all.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are times that we've shared stories and, we've left out the 45 minutes of admin that went into before it and the cleaning out that took us half an hour before that and the sort of the 3 hours spent on Grindr trying to arrange it, your place or mine, what time are you free, you can, you know, all of the sort of admin ephemera, shall we say.
Yeah, like, just arranging to have sex is fucking massive, complicated thing to do, like, as we talked about in the episode about dating apps.
I literally had teeth extracted that took less arrangement, you know?
Sure, yeah.
All the people with a medical fetish just went, huh?
No, my neighbour has a gas leak. They were here in half an hour. I mean, unless you're also fucking a gas man, then, you know.
He's come to lay some pipe. He's come to lay some pipe.
That's where we're getting into, you know, the unrealistic pornography stereotype.
But stereotypes is a really good place to start. So let's start with stereotypes.
Sure.
Like, let's start with the stereotype that, you know, just about every guy in porn is hung. Yes. And can go for over an hour, and everything else, you know, unless you're searching out particular subgenres, that's the default position. And it's just not fucking true.
Of course, yeah. Of course. We get it. Like, pornography, you shoot porn, you want to sell porn. Like, so you cast your members in a particular way that may not be entirely representative of the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, you know, yes, we're talking about dick sizes. We're talking about body shapes.
Fucking me, we're talking about stamina. Like, honestly, yeah. Fucking Christ, like, don't get me wrong, I like a good long fucking afternoon as much as everybody else. But at the same time, the majority of the fucking sex that I'm going to have is a 20-minute, 30-minute job. And even then, sometimes it's a lot fucking shorter than that, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it all comes down to what am I in the mood for in that moment. You watch porn and you watch it sort of regularly, which, well, quite frankly, I do, and most men I know do, you know. You would think that everybody's fucking for 45 minutes to an hour, fucking, in some cases, two, non-stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Even if we just ignore the endurance side of that, it gets fucking sore.
I think everybody is aware that there are cuts in, you know, in the scene. And, yeah, sometimes in porn I notice, okay, you have just shown me the same scene in, like, five different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's 20 minutes of runtime, where it's actually only about 4 minutes of mm-hmm. actual stuff mm-hmm. happening.
But the thing is, you say that everyone's aware of this. Like, they're not. Like, they're really not. And I don't mean this as an insult on anyone's intelligence, but, like, you speak to some guys, especially younger guys, or less experienced guys in scenes, etc., when we're talking kink porn, and they're not aware that it's not that quick. You know, they might be aware that there's more admin that goes into the start of it.
Yeah.
But they're not aware that, you know, no, we can't keep you tied up and suspended in the bondage in that way for that long, because you will lose circulation.
Oh, totally, to, yeah.
Insert extremity here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and let alone it's, you know, that tie takes about, you know, an hour to complete, at, mm-hmm. you know, at least.
But it creates a complex for people, and it's, you know...
Yeah.
Even me, I will put my hand up and go, even me, like, there are times that I, sort of, more so when I was younger, had concerns over my own ability... Because, you know, I wasn't fucking for 40 minutes in a fucking go. I wasn't fucking there and raring to go immediately as soon as the guy took his shirt off. You know, I wasn't whatever. It's, you know, and it got in my head. And it's like, even though I know better and knew better, there was still that part of me that's comparing myself to what I see.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of guys want to look a particular way because of like expectations. And yeah, that's partly due to porn, partly due to like other societal pressures on the scene, etc. Mm-hmm. I also think there is a lot of not just on how you look, but on the mentality side, there is a lot of porn that sets an expectation of how things should be, which, again, it's not entirely the truth of what mm-hmm. people would do, can do, at least not all the time. Yeah.
There is, and I mean, there's also the thing of, you use the word stereotypes before, and it's exactly the right thing. Like, the way it enforces the stereotypes, if you look like X, you should be Y.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, you know, a top should always be the muscly dude that's, you know, sporty, athletic, whatever, should always be the dude with the biggest cock, should always be the dude that's, you know, tattooed, aggressive, whatever. Bottom should always be twinky, demure, small dick, whatever. You know, the shorter of the two, this, that, and the other. And I know, like, I know there are, like, entire fucking porn studios at this point set up to, like, the opposite of these expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of what you see out there has these quote-unquote standards in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the worrying thing is people believe it.
People believe it and people keep consuming it. And that's what, you know, keeps driving this.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying that if you like it, that's a bad thing.
Oh, not.
If you, you know,
yeah.
If you're into your big beefy tops or you're into, you know, your I don't know, your smaller twinky bottoms or whatever, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, let's be realistic here and go, it's not the majority.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, some people don't realise that some of these stereotypes are really fucking damaging as well.
I mean, yeah, not everybody's going to look amazing like a porn model. Like, they, you know, a lot of them are very, very, you know, beautiful guys, which is great for them. But, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of us like that are just, well, standard looking, basically.
Bitch, you're beautiful. You know that. Don't fucking start.
You too.
But no, like, I'm completely with you. Like, so it's, so I'm interested in your take on this. Like, I have spoken to guys in the past that are from various backgrounds that have gone, you know, oh, well, you know, of course I've got X, Y, or Z feature. Like, I'm X, Y, or Z race. So, and just, you know, I've had this with black guys, I've had this with Asian guys, etc. Whether it's on about cock size, I've had this about sort of guys, whether on about aggression or their sort of stamina, etc.
I see what you mean.
You know, the reinforcement of these, frankly, really shitty
yep.
racial stereotypes, etc. Like,
yeah.
Do you encounter this in the wild?
I mean,
because I know that some people have onboarded them as well as their own narrative.
Yeah, it's fucking bollocks. There used to be a stereotype that Chinese guys didn't like to do anal. Like, completely untrue. Not on a blanket statement.
Oh, yeah.
It's just because, you know, there were a few established guys who happened to be Chinese on the early stages of internet porn who weren't into anal. And it just came a stereotype that, oh, no Chinese guys were going to be into anal. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, but it gets a bit annoying when there is a certain expectation of you based on your appearance rather than them trying to actually know you, basically.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, so a few years ago, an old friend that I'm no longer in touch with, They found out that I was dating you. They found out sort of you're in this scene. This is like, oh, so, you know, they must be at the bottom and they've got a small cock. I'm just like, no, that's just no. On so many levels, fuck off with that.
Yeah.
Because, one, no, it isn't. And two, that's just a bullshit fucking stereotype that's based in nothing but racism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, on the flip side of this, if you look at porn, I'm not saying this is always the case, because it's not. There are some great creators out there that really do turn that stereotype on its head, and I don't just mean the slice. But, like, you know, the mainstream shit that's done by the studios, it's usually a smaller Asian guy that's on the bottom, and it's just like, the fuck?
Yeah. There are people who believe things should be a certain way, and I think some porn studios play into that and make, you know, products, like shoot scenes that conform to that, just because it's an easy thing to do and it makes some money because people will keep buying them because mm-hmm. it fits what they think should be true.
Oh, absolutely. But it's like, it's even, like, it's not just innate characteristic stuff as well that porn gets wrong. Like, stuff, like, we touched on it before, stuff like kink scenes and the way they do rigging for the rope. Stuff like gear, etc.
Mm.
It's just like, give me a fucking break.
I think there may be some people who, you know, watch a lot of porn and have never actually experienced being in a more amateur kind of scene, I guess, they would have a lot of expectations of what a playroom should look like, how people's rope work would end up looking like, you know, like the, not everybody can do like massively elaborate shibari style rope work.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is going to have a fucking suspension frame in their room. Most of the time, come on, it's just the guy's bedroom.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
And that's fine. And that's
fucking sexy.
A lot of fun.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, one of my long-term goals is to have a dedicated playroom that will have bars and everything attached to the ceiling.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you can have plenty of fucking fun just in someone's fucking bedroom. And it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, like, the one that always gets me is just like, if you, the unrealistic expectations, like, anything that involves anything public, whether it's approaching a guy on the street with cash, like certain freaking studios are very well known for doing in certain countries, or whether it's things like, you know, oh, we did this in the Uber, or we did, like, no, you fucking didn't. This is not anywhere near as spontaneous as you're trying to make that look. And don't get me wrong, I know that can happen, but the chances are you're getting arrested more than it's going to turn into a fucking porn scene. Let's be frank.
Yes. Speaking, just going back to equipment and gear, there's a pet hate of me. For listeners, I'm by trade an electrical engineer, and there are scenes that I have seen where they put electrical clips on some equipment and the sub would get electrocuted and that kind of thing. I'm like, you have shorted the circuit. There's no electricity going through the sub.
I'm sorry, that's a very you example, but yeah, I absolutely get where you're coming from with that one. At the same time, how many people are going to fucking do that and have it wrong and actually, like, cause serious fucking harm? Like, yeah. Jesus fucking Christ. The one that always gets me is the sex stores. Now, maybe this is because some of the content I consume is American, and maybe this is a cultural difference, because I've heard this spoken about by a couple of American creators recently, like, trying things on in stores.
Yeah.
Versus in Europe.
Yeah.
But, like, you would think, based on fucking porn, that every sex store you walk in, like, you're going to walk into someone that's naked, you're going to walk into someone that's getting a blowjob, this, that, and the other. And don't get me wrong, like, let's be clear, there are stores that this happens in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were with me the first time I tried a chastity cage. No, in fact, no, it wasn't you. This was before we met, now I think about it.
Okay.
I think this would have been 6 to 12 months before we met. Ish.
Okay.
In fact, no, it might have been a bit longer than that. Either way, I went to a very lovely store in London that were quite happy to let you try on the cages because they would take them and sanitize them afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, this store moved location, and since it moved location to somewhere that was a bit more of an urban populous center, it's not as good. And now everyone knows where I'm talking about, but I've not named any names. But, you know, yeah, you could get away with certain things in there, and people did.
Yes.
Yeah. It was one of those unwritten rules that people knew it went on. You had to conduct yourself properly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the norm. It's by no means the norm. And you try that shit in anywhere else, and it's just like, they're going to make you pay for your shit, and they're going to buy you from the store.
Yeah, I think a lot of porn, what porn is showing is like stuff that can happen, but you shouldn't be expecting it to happen like at all.
I genuinely do feel sorry for some like sex store workers because they must have to put up with some right shit because people have got an idea just from porn.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
But it's just like I think the thing that we started on, like, the way it gets in people's head is, it's a genuine concern. And it's not something that's just unique to sort of young, inexperienced guys. Like, I've seen this at all ages. I've seen this of all kind of backgrounds. Like, people see these things and they don't... Frankly, they don't apply the critical thought to it because in that moment, they're not in that space mentally.
I mean, yes, if you are watching porn, then enjoy the porn. Don't be me and, you know, take apart how they set up the electrode. don't do that. You know, a guy getting, you know, tortured by electricity, really hot, in theory.
In theory.
But yeah, enjoy what you're seeing. Do the thinking afterwards and don't believe everything you see.
For the sake of our lawyers, this was a hypothetical discussion, and please do not repeat anything or do anything that Chris has just spoken about. We do not condone this position. It was purely for illustrative purposes. But no, it's just like... The question is this. How do we improve this? Because it's all well and good us sitting here and talking about it and going, hey, this is fucking ridiculous. How do we improve this?
Like, I think...
Where do you think the responsibility falls for it?
Well, first of all, I think there is a you know, the current trend of like OnlyFans and Just for Fans, they are I think creators are showing, you know, a more realistic and personal side of things that their materials is not being shot by a massive porn studio. They are doing what they actually do most of the time. Given that, yeah, there is definitely embellishments, but I think that is trending towards, you know, more realism.
I don't disagree, but I think we do need to start having some of these frank conversations. I think we do need people to, whether it's creators, whether it's community at large, like, I do think there is a need to call out some of this stuff in a way. Because some of it is just really out there and just not really fucking real. Like, there was a brand a few years ago, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want to give them the popularity, because they still make content, but their entire thing was essentially around the forced consumption of drugs. And okay. That was their entire premise. And okay. It was just like,
okay,
no, that shit's not okay. Because not only are you encouraging like drug use and severely harmful drug use, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not one here that's going, no, don't do that. It's your body. Please, you know, just fucking, I don't condone it. But at the same time, you know, you're human, you're going to make your own choices. Just please be safe. But at the same time, like, you know, we shouldn't be fucking encouraging this in our pornography. We shouldn't be encouraging this. It's always tricky.
I feel like, you know, people just need to be aware that porn is fantasy. Like, you know, kink.com, they say that on every single shoot. They, you know, there's a disclaimer before they actually run the logos. Like,
yeah,
porn is fantasy. I think they do really well. They do an interview at the beginning and the end with the models, and just to run through like what was actually happening.
And you know what? That's actually some of the, like, I haven't watched all of their stuff, but like,
well, no,
some of, well, okay, maybe that's a redundant statement, but theirs isn't the main one I consume, I should say. But when I have seen those before and after interviews, in some ways I find them more interesting than the actual fucking.
Yeah, movie. Yeah, they are. Yeah, listening to the interviews are actually really interesting. To say, oh yeah, I, you know, the model will say, oh, I particularly enjoyed this bit and that happened. Like, this is how I felt in the moment. Like, it's really interesting just to hear their experiences as well as, you know, seeing, you know, the actual scene beforehand. Or maybe before, after. Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's. I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Like, I think there needs to be a responsibility on us to call it out as a community. I think there also needs to be better education around this kind of stuff, because people do get in their heads about it. And the thing is, like, the effects of this are, they run deep. Like, you have situations where people struggle to get off in the moment because, you know, they've seen it in porn and it's not living up to what they've built it up to be in their heads, you know? And this isn't just, oh, they watch too much porn. No, this is like, they've been given a false expectation.
I think media in some way has always will have some kind of, you know, unrealistic aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every media, like, that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff in movies don't happen in real life. Full stop. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, you know, we just have to consume the medium as what it is.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I know that if porn was perfectly true to life, no one would watch it. Let's be frank.
Yeah.
Because the entire point is the fantasy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, you can have the fantasy and still make some of the real stuff hot. You know, you can make the process of tying those ties erotic in itself. You can make the process of, you know, like the foreplay talk, etc., that goes into things about, you know, do you want to use a condom, etc. Like, you know, you can build a scene up that includes sort of playing with each other's nipples and stroking each other and, you know, asking that question as the preamble to it all kicking off type of thing. And you don't have to show the specific bits of, you know, oh, well, give me a minute, I need to go and get the condom and I need to go and get the lube and I need to, you know, you don't need to do the whole freaking admin of it. Just drop even just the fucking tiny bits in here and there that take off some of that, frankly, fucking RuPaul season one fucking varnish smear all over the lens, you know?
Mm. Yeah, like, okay. For me, I know, like, sex is not going to be, like, go, 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 go all the time.
I try.
I think I know that. I don't know if I'm completely on board with that. Like, I've already said, like, porn, like, people have to consume porn as, you know, what they actually are, which is a fantasy, basically for getting off.
Okay, absolutely. The thing is, I don't disagree with you there. All I'm saying is, we can do both. We can very easily do both. If you want the, you know, frankly, the wham bam, thank you, ma'am scenario, great, it's there. It's, you know, it's absolutely a thing that we can do. You know, but at the same time, you know, I like the foreplay in porn, and there isn't enough of that in the fucking start. I like the foreplay in sex, full stop. You know, that moment where, you know, you're getting hot and heavy with a guy, and there's that moment where just before it's about to happen, there's that sort of, you know, are you ready? Do you want it? Like, that's hot.
Yeah, but I think, like, these content also exist. Like,
they do, but they're the, they are such a small minority of things.
Then, you know, people, you give people the choice of what kind of stuff they like. Sometimes, you know, these things turn some other people off, so they don't want to see it, so they don't show it.
And I completely agree with you, but my point is, you end up making a choice a lot of the time between, do you want just the run and gun sort of straight in there in that particular area and that particular genre and that particular type of sex? Or do you want that with the edge, with a bit more realistic and a bit more foreplay? It's usually an either or that ends up having to be chosen in that scenario. I'm saying we should do more of both.
I mean, I'm just saying these two different things catered to different people.
I agree. And these two different...
And I think that's fine.
I don't disagree. Like, I agree they cater to different people. They cater to different moods. I mean, Jesus Christ, there are many days, you know, I just want to see a cute fucking Twinkie thing with a locked up dick get pounded. But then there's other days where I want to see the admin of a guy getting teased a bit because he's locked up and, like, I'll let you out for a bit and I'll give you a hand job and, you know, the consent and the tenderness around it as well. And God damn it, there isn't enough of that in porn. Especially not kink porn, because kink porn has this fucking almost baseline assumption there needs to be aggression in there. It's like, what the fuck? Not in all of it, but in the bulk of it.
Yeah, I think we get porn from different places.
That's fair, that's fair. Maybe we need to agree to disagree with that. I think this is one we maybe come back to as well. Like, we've kind of touched the edges of some of the stereotyping and things. Maybe we come back in on some specifics.
Yeah.
When we're talking generally. Because I think, honestly, like, this is something that we need to do a little bit of a better job with sometimes when we're talking specific topics as well. Because we talk about the main event, we don't always talk about some of the prep work quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anything else you want to add before we move in?
I mean, not particularly, just a general, you know, if you watch porn, then, you know, enjoy it at the moment and don't think, you know, don't try to copy everything you see.
I mean, that's just a generally good rule for life. Don't copy everything you see. Although I'm starting to sound like my mother. Would you, George, you jump off a cliff? That depends. Is there a hot guy in a parachute? Anyway, shall we move on to the 5-minute mob, Chris?
Yeah.
X-Men's back!
Yeah.
X-Men's back.
X-Men's very back.
So, like, I am back to, like, watching cartoons in my pajamas on a Saturday morning again. It's awesome.
Sure. It's back to how it should be, it seems like, here.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I'm sorry, but it's so good. Like, it's... They've updated the animation style. The voices are older, but not as noticeably so as I expected. It's really good.
Yeah, that is. I think it's just how I expect it, pretty much.
I was really nervous. I was really, really nervous.
No, that's
partly because I don't remember as much as I thought I did, having, like, looked at some recap. So I need to go back and watch everything. But also, like, it could have gone so wrong.
Oh yeah, Taking on a classic title is always a massive risk.
Exactly. Exactly. And we've seen classic titles get butchered.
Oh, yeah. Thunderbirds.
Oh, God. Please, I forgot that reboot happened. But I think the nice thing is, like, they've not tried to do... It's not like they're trying to turn it into something it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there's been some updated art style. Yes, there's been some, like, changes to the voices, but they make sense and they're for good reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's really good. And they're pulling things from comics, which was what the original series did, but they're pulling things from comics faithfully in the style of that series.
I guess, yeah. But for me, I didn't mind a voice change. Like, yes, yeah, fine. Yeah, I mean, It's been quite a long time. You change.
Exactly.
Yeah, fine. I don't care.
Honestly, the one I notice it most with is Wolverine. And it's, sure, they haven't changed the actor. It's just an older actor's voice. And it's just like, yeah, it makes sense. It's just the only one that really kind of takes me a moment.
Mm.
But it's not a bad thing.
No, yeah, like for me, if you're talking about comic books, you should never really associate a particular voice or a particular actor with a character anyway.
I don't know. There's certain voices.
Yeah, okay.
Wolverine was one, Beast is another, and honestly, Storm. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to get too heavily into spoilers, but Storm, like, holy fuck, like, that's always been an iconic voice. It's always been an iconic sort of character in that particular presentation of X-Men, and holy fuck, they got it right.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. I think they got a lot of things right. Yeah. What about the actual couple of episodes that we have seen?
So, I've seen the first two. Third one came out today, same. Which I know dates us a little bit, but I'm really impressed. I was kind of nervous how they were going to handle the Magneto side of things.
Yeah.
I love what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hesitant on the Magneto Rogue side of things.
True.
But there is precedent. And they're in less than a minute. I'm really liking what they've done. I really want to see what they do with Magneto. I don't think we've seen the last of Charles. I know what the storyline is. I don't think we've seen the last of Charles.
Yeah, no way.
But I don't think we'll see him this series or possibly even next. But I think they will bring him back.
I mean, he is in the opening titles.
For the first episode only.
I skipped the opening titles for the second episode. Okay, fair enough.
Well, okay, no. He's in the where they're running together on the second episode, but he's not in the rest of it.
Yeah, okay. So in the first opening titles, he had his name, like, in every title and everything. So, yeah, fair enough.
And in the one where they're running together, there's always been characters in that weren't in there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Prediction, Magneto goes rogue before the end of this series. As good as he is. That, or we're going to see Zor.
Most probably.
Excelsior!
So that was a 5-minute Marvel.
It was. I'm sorry, I'm properly rocking on the theme tune. Anyway, so we may have to resample some of that into the intro. Anyway, that was the 5-minute Marvel. We're over it. What's on your joysticks, Chris?
I think we're both talking about the same game, probably.
After three?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, Bellatroy.
Bellatroy? Yeah.
Go on, after you.
Yeah, so Bellatroy is the... Well, I don't know who even developed it, but it's the poker rogue-like game that is taking, you know, the gaming world by storm. That kind of thing.
It does seem to have been one of those that just pops up and it's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I didn't realize this until I literally just put it into Google search to double check the maker. Bellatro is a professional jester or buffoon.
Oh, okay. No, so that's
the
why
name suddenly makes so much more sense.
And that's why the joke is called a buffoon pack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I was like, what's buffoony about jokers?
The developer is by Local Thunk, and it's published by Playstack.
Okay. I would have to say I was not aware of either the developer or the publisher.
Honestly, neither was I, and I don't mind this because it's nice to see smaller developers coming through.
Sure, yeah.
Because, frankly, the gaming community direly needs it.
So, okay, Bellatroy, okay, what's the deal?
So, the deal is you are given a deck of cards. Various different decks have different effects. So, some decks may be heavily weighted in terms of what's inside of them. Some may have different rules in terms of how many hands you get to play. Some may have different rules around how you earn money. You play poker decks which score according to a scoring system, and the points that you get from your hands are times by the multipliers. As you go through, you collect jokers, planets, and tarot cards, which enable different modifiers onto your poker hands.
Yep.
Some increasing the points, some decreasing the points, some letting you alter what cards are in your deck.
Yeah, the terminology is a bit confusing with the jokers and the planets and the tarots and also the vouchers. I'm like, why? Why have you come up with these words?
It is, but it's one of those that unless you spend time, I think within a round or two, you very quickly pick it up. But if you're coming at it fresh, it's very confusing.
Yeah. If you're looking from the outside, because I watched you play, I was like, what the hell is going on? Because I didn't ask questions and you didn't try to explain.
Yep.
But yeah.
I wasn't being rude, by the way. This was just in bed one night before we went to sleep.
Yeah. I wasn't interested in learning the game at that time. I was just watching, he's getting... These cards just go away. These cards are being countered, and these are not being countered, and these cards have got a massive X on them. What the hell is going on?
And, I want to put an apology in here, because I know there are some listeners that listen to some of our recommendations and go out and try them. And I know that some listeners got very addicted to Peggle because of bringing that one in. This is another one of those, and I've got bad news for you.
To be fair,
the developers have announced that they're planning to develop it for iOS and Android.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But let's be fair. We're by no means the first people to have mentioned it. You will probably have heard of this game somewhere else if you are into gaming at all.
Oh, for sure. And what I love about this game, I think I picked it up on Switch for something like £12. You know, it's cheap. And I've had hours from it.
Yeah. And it's on all the platforms. It's on, Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch.
In some locales, it's been banned, though.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, because it's been classified as a gambling game. Which I see why they've done it, but I wouldn't say it's a gambling game. I wouldn't say it's, it shares gambling mechanics, but it's not.
Yeah.
You're not staking money to win money type of thing.
It's certainly a lot less gambling than, say, loot boxes.
Absolutely.
I don't think this is a gambling game. They use poker hands, and that doesn't make it a gambling game.
Yeah. But it's addictive. It is weirdly addictive. It's not a gambling game, but it is weirdly addictive.
Yeah, and what I really like is when it's a deck manipulation game, really.
Mm.
What's really interesting to me is when you get to the secret hands.
Oh, yeah.
That is not, possible in normal poker.
Mm-hmm. Like a flush like straight.
No, you can get a straight flush. You can get a straight flush in normal poker.
No, a flush house, sorry.
A flush house, yeah. A flush house or a five of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ultimate flush five. That's, yeah. I love it when I you know, got my deck to the stage that I can just pump these out constantly.
Yeah. But let's talk about the rounds for a minute, because I didn't finish explaining those. So every round you will have a different point score that you've got to reach, that you do by using all the different modifiers that you've got. And then every third round will have a particular modifier. So it might be that you draw one less card. You can only play one kind of poker hand for the entirety of that round.
Mm-hmm.
You have certain suits aren't available. So, for example, you might not be able to play diamonds, or it might draw your face cards face down, so you don't know what you're actually playing.
Yeah.
And that's where the challenge comes in, trying to get over not just the score, but also the modified play rules.
Yeah, they can mess you up big time. You do have like two rounds of advance warning to counter that effect.
Assuming you can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sometimes you set the deck up in a particular way. Like there's once, you know, when I was converting all my cards to hearts and the boss came up with, oh, all hearts are debuffed. I'm like, shit.
My favourite one is there is a card in there that treats every card like it's a face card, so it doesn't matter whether you play a queen, a jack, or a two.
Mm-hmm.
It treats it as though it was a face card.
Yeah.
And then I drew the modifier that made all face cards drawn face down on one occasion, and then I was doing this on another occasion and drew the card that made all face cards blocked. And it's just like, well, fuck.
Well, in that case, you just have to sell that joker.
Oh, no, because the thing is, every other joker I had, every other modifier I had was set based on it being a face card.
Yeah.
It ruined my run.
Yeah. That happens, and, you know, then you will have to try to get the voucher that lets you re-roll the boss. Mm-hmm. There are only so many bosses.
Yeah.
I have encountered all of them, and I know them. Yeah, basically, by now.
But the point scoring that some people have done in this game is absolutely insane as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I have seen point scoring to the point it ended up using scientific notation.
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah.
It's insane. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the modding community getting a hold of it.
Hmm.
Because I'm looking forward to seeing what alternate boss ideas come in, what alternate jokers come in.
True.
And it's one of those, like, I'm curious to see whether the developer's going to do, like, an expansion pack of sorts. Or whether they're going to just open it up to the mod community and go, have at it.
Yeah, that's curious. Yeah. I'm happy with the game in its current state.
Am I, don't get me wrong. But I am absolutely happy with this game in its current state, and this is always my thing with video games. If they come out and they're well put together and the mechanics are great, yes, fantastic.
Hmm.
At the same time, it's always, even if I don't necessarily engage with them, it's always interesting for me to see what happens on the modding side.
Yeah.
To see sort of what ideas people have got and how creative they get inside a set of rules.
Oh, and we should also mention you need to beat 8 bosses to win a run.
Yes, but then if you beat your 8th boss, you are given the option to transfer to endless mode to keep going.
Yes,
where the scores start going up exponentially.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm trying to beat the 12th boss. The 12th boss, because there is a joker that is like locked behind beating the 12th boss.
Meanwhile, I've only managed to complete it twice. Because I finally got my second completion this morning.
Well done.
For our listeners, like, I've been playing this for just over a week, mm-hmm. and I managed to beat it twice. Chris has been playing it for about 4 days and has already beat it about 6 times.
Oh, okay, I've been playing more than 4 days, but Yeah, I've beaten one of the decks on the second difficulty. That's...
Yeah, I'm barely getting through the first. But I'm equally still addicted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's... I don't really have anything else to add. That's Balatro.
No, that's Balatro. Like, we should... We should do this more. We should talk about the game and then repeat the name of the game at the end, because there's there are so many times that I listen to it, like, okay, we talk about it. This is really interesting. What's the fucking name of the game?
Yeah, we'll get better at that. It's almost like eventually we'll get good at this podcasting thing after a few years.
But it's not just us. I listen to, you know, the dedicated gaming podcasts and I encounter the same thing. Okay, what game are they talking about again? It's really interesting.
Yep. No, absolutely. This is just general meta commentary on gaming podcasts at this point, Chris. But But no, that was Balatro that we were talking about. I don't really have anything else to add joystick wise. Like, it's literally consumed just about all of my gaming.
Yeah.
But that has been the show, Chris.
Indeed it has, yes.
If people wish to find us, where can they?
You can find us on Mastodon at tpnjpodcast@wolf.group. And also our website, tpnjpodcast.com.
Indeed, where we also have our links to just about everywhere else that we are available or present. If you have enjoyed the show, please give us a like, comment, subscribe, etc. And yes, I know, Chris, you hate when I say this, but
yes,
no.
But leave us a voice message. Like that's will be interesting.
I said this the other day, and you know, we ended up with like double the number of people that had given us ratings. So thank you very much if you did so. Yes.
Oh my
so thank
God.
You very much if you did so, and please, if you haven't yet, please do so, because it really does actually help us, like, get the podcast out there. But no, yes, leave us a voice message. This is something we haven't requested for quite a while, but it is, we do have that ability, and it's linked to on our website.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I have been Si.
And I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening, and we shall catch you hopefully a lot sooner, but next time.
We'll do. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris. Our soundboard comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is Quarter Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.